We came here to do tikkun on our midot. We came here not to die the way we came. Just because babies are naked, you're supposed to get dressed. We're supposed to understand that we're here to... We said we're all here because we're not all there.
Oh, thank you, Rudolph.
Oh. Yehuda Rudolph, L'chaim. Right? L'chaim for Rudolph. Wherever you are, L'chaim.
What happened to the sweater?
Who is Rudolph?
With a swag? With a...
Mr. Shem will come. When the Shefa starts raining, it'll rain from what kind of says.
Why is that?
Listen, when you're not all there, things take a different time. It's not, if you're really not there. So comes first. Suddenly everybody is mekubalim. Everyone says, Yom Echad Shloshim Yom La'Omer. Suddenly you're dealing with Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach Chayim. Yeah. Right, Shmuel, like it's like you saw it, Jibba Malchus, bye, 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 bye. Right, it's like dude, a second ago, if I asked you what's Kabbalah, what's Spheres, well, I don't know, go ask the guys in Tzfas, I don't know. But suddenly, we're all connected because these days are days of Tikkun and Midot. Midot are also Kabbalistic, also looked at from a Kabbalistic lens, but also looked at from a very human, lens. Are you a nice person? Are you nice? Hopefully. Not hopefully. Make yourself nice. No kid is born nice. Some kids are nicer than others. Kids are vicious. Vicious.
You're born very selfish.
Self-centered. That means you're born that way and you have to graduate that state. We're there. We're hopefully graduating that state. That's tikkun amidot. So on these days, that us as a nation, what happened on these 49 days? As a nation, we were attempted to graduate our state. We came from Mitzrayim, from restriction, from smallness, from selfishness. The Hashem says like this, a nation like that, you know, I need you guys to grow up. I need to speak with a class of grown-ups over here. Let's grow up. I say, okay, Hashem, we trust you, we understand. So look at what we say in the Hashem Yichud. After we count the Omer, we say, tell Hashem, you commanded us to count the Omer. Why? We're born with inherent stench. You're born with inherent bad midos. So you tell us to purify, to use these days to purify our midos. But it's not only up there, it's here. Being nice. And these days, the energy of the whole Am Yisrael is around tikkun midot, fixing the midot of the lower world so the higher Shefa could sit properly. So let's look at the approach of Chassidus to Tikkun HaMidos. Ask a Chassid, where does Tikkun HaMidos come in? Tikkun HaMidos. So he writes here, Alter Rabbi, Rabbeinu Azakel Kibar Tarem, Mechavad Kedushas Doida, Nistar HaGaon HaTzadik, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. The Alter Rabbi got Torah from his uncle, who was a Tzadik Nistar, Yosef Yitzchak.
Low-key.
Yeah, low-key then. Shehu V'Gisa HaTzadik Nistar HaBaruch, and his other Tzadik Nistar, friend, you know.
How
they
tzaddik nister if they're known?
Well, they're
dead. Oh, there's no, a tzaddik is not nister forever. A tzaddik nister, that means that during his life, his avoida is not the pirsum. There's some people that their avoida is out, some people that their avoida are in, and some people that their avoida at the beginning of their life is to be very, very out, and then they go in, and some people the opposite. There's all kinds of tzaddikim, all kinds of avoidas. Some tzaddikim, they're quiet for many years, and then they become famous. And some tzaddikim do big avodas when they're young, and they quiet down. Some Rav Shemesh writes, because those tzaddikim, there's different moments, they're all right. But those tzaddikim, they serve Hashem and Machshava. They could do everything they did before out, they do it in, but then they do it in total unison. They're always in the yichud. It's the derech of the tzaddikim. So that's what the Indian of tzaddikim nistar. There's all kinds of nistar. All kinds of asterim. The same way Hashem is nister, the tzaddikim and nistarim, all kinds of asterim. But either way, the Baal Shem Tov, he, what, 18, at age 18, was the leader of the Lamed Vav tzaddikim nistarim, of this crew. They meet each other, of course. This was a secret society that went down from the lineage of Kabbalah in Germany, and Worms and all the Mekubalim over there. It was very, very quiet. They had inyanim of Kabbalah, and they... Some of them had desire, and they from the Gaonim. And they had leaders. They had a secret society. Look at Arya Kaplan in Akdama of the Jewish Meditation. Or what, right? He speaks about in Jewish Meditation?
What is his book? Jewish Meditation by
Arya. No, but he has a couple of them. He has a couple of books. One of them will be Meditation in Kabbalah. Where he speaks in the one in Hebrew, for sure, he quote, he brings down the lineage of the secret society of Mekubalim that was. There were different tzaddikim that were the leaders for different, and some of them, one of them was so nister, I actually quote him a couple of times to you guys, that he was so hidden that it's even a doubt if he was even existed or not. But he led the group for 50 years. But he managed to do it in such a quiet way that his fingerprint was not almost shown on anything. He just, that was his style. He's afraid of being nister. The tzaddikim had to be nister.
I saw a guy sounds in like a game. He looks homeless.
It's not a game. It's the tzaddikim embody the position of the Shekhinah. When the Shekhinah, when the presence of Hashem, when the presence of Hashem is in the tzaddikim and Hashem do the same thing. They dance the same dance in the same style. So when Hashem is revealing in the world, so the tzaddikim, but some tzaddikim, even in the tzimtzum, have to be revealing. Some tzaddikim have to be slavish. They go into galus. Remelech, Rebzusha, the Chafetz Chaim, the Gra. Imagine going from city to city, not sleeping in the same place twice, two nights in a row, going to a place, nobody knows who you are, you sit in the back of the shul, maybe people invite you for dinner, maybe they don't. Go to sleep hungry, maybe you don't. That's how it was. The guy, no Jew went to sleep hungry, I'm sure the guy ben shul gave you some leftover matzah or something, but you know what I'm saying? Tzaddikim Nistarim was a lifestyle of Yidden, especially when the Yidden were in Galus, especially the Ramak, or Moshe Koldovero, was the Rebbe of all the Mekubalim in Tzfas till the Arizal came. He was the Zekan of Mekubalim, the elder of all the Mekubalim here. One of the Sfarim that he wrote was Sefer HaGirushin. Girushin doesn't just mean divorce. They would divorce themselves from their families and their homes and their hometown. And they would go from city to city to, in order to embody the position where the Shekhinah is.
I ask a question on that. Why to get married? Why have kids if you just got
you're getting married? You're married because Hashem told you to get married. You have kids because Hashem told you to have kids. And then you could, if your avodas Hashem is at a very sensitive level, not just want to know every halacha, know every gemara, but say, what is the position of the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem? You know, Reb Shimon and the Zohar, at midnight, they would see things that would stop them from whatever they were doing. They would start bitterly crying that the presence of Hashem left the world. We're so in galus, the only thing we could actually cry for is that we don't know what to cry for. That's the only true point that you could actually cry for. That you, if you actually meditate on that, you could bitterly cry, wow. For real.
I like that.
I'm so far that there's things I should be crying about, but I'm so far that I can't cry for them? Nebuch me! Wow, you could cry for that. That's where we're holding. You know, the time of the Zohar where we lost wasn't just, oh, you learned Kabbalah and this and that. No. They saw Hashem in everything. When they saw a camel walking down the street, when they saw a vulture coming, when they saw a pigeon, everything was alikus because that's really how it is. Really, Hashem is talking through everything. But now the Shekhinah is in Hester. So the tzaddikim are in Hester. Now we don't see Hashem talking to everybody. You hear birds chirping all day. You don't hear nothing. You see things happening in the sky. You don't understand what's going on.
There's a judgment to like that bird flying
by. 100%. That bird is saying the Gzar Din right now of what's Nigzar and Shammai. But we don't understand it. The Arizal writes this in Shaar HaKodesh. The Arizal writes that there's two ways. The science of bird flights is also a non-Jewish. It's actually an ancient, it's called Taira. The Ramban brings it down. Taira, I don't know in English. If you see The Alchemist, ever read The Alchemist?
I've heard
of that. So the ancient wisdom of some part of, not witchcraft, but part of that heebie-jeebie dark culture was deciphering the flight of the birds and how they fly and by their flight, what are they intent, what are they describing, what are they alluding to? I guess we got a drink over here. Of course.
Well, now our cups are going to be lighter.
We are flying pretty trippy, right?
Tripping on
here. Blown away.
Those birds are they're called swifts, I believe. And they're actually one of the most swift birds that exist. I like
the way that they change their angles.
No, I like birds also. I watch falcons, for example, fly amazing. But these birds fly even more crazy than falcons.
They
go on the floor, like close to everything, like whoop, and the last minute they just.
Are you talking about the birds that have on the wings? They have like a part that goes out.
Right? Yeah. They build their nest with spit, with saliva.
What's the one with the white on the end of the wing? I've just seen them lately.
Oh, they do like all kinds of wild sounds.
They have like
a yellow beak.
Flap all the way down.
Yellow
like
beak.
Long.
They make like aggressive noises.
I don't know, like dark brown with like white at the end of each wing, like white in the back. I'm not seeing them a lot over here.
There's a bird head that came recently from China.
China.
You know the one that was sitting.
That's
there?
You know what you want. You know what you talk about conspiracies.
Oh, I know. By the way, you realize
birds
the bugs
show
in China. Like,
those are
bugs that attack like
drones.
They make bugs in China. Everything's
robo bugs. There are drones the size of like wasps.
Wow, I don't know about that.
I don't think it's China. It could be American.
I've seen that bird.
Or in China.
Which one?
That one. Let's see the white.
No, that's a dove. That's a pigeon. They're kosher, yeah.
Believe it or not, pigeons do.
That's
fly.
What I told you. If you want to see how the pigeons live, you could actually watch them firsthand. I can teach you how to make little boxes, put them out here, and they'll nest. They'll come and nest right in there, and you'll see them building their nest. You'll see their babies coming out. You'll see them.
I've never seen baby pigeons, and I've seen hundreds of pigeons.
Check this out.
Baby pigeon?
Babies
never seen a baby pigeon.
Those are the most you walk in New York in the city, you just see pigeons all day. I've never seen a
baby. What about the bird?
Babies don't make it to walk around the city.
Anywhere, ever.
No, not in the city. To survive in the city, you got to be hardcore.
A lot. But what about the one that was...
Most of them don't make it.
Pretty tough.
Yeah, like the rats.
That's the birdie bird.
The little angel one?
Which angel one?
The one that was tripping up there.
They're the ones. They're those swifts.
Those are the swifts?
Yeah.
Blue one or the brown?
They're blue with brown, and they have those angel wings. You know the angel fish?
Wait, no, there's the angel bird.
The wing
like, bam, and then there's a swift, a little brown and white.
Actually, I don't think I'm talking about
No, so that one is
talking
blue
about
and brown.
The top
I know what you're talking about.
Those are pigeons.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
a pigeon.
Those two up there
like
are
a different
those.
One.
And there's a... No, that's a pigeon over there.
Okay, let's just finish this thought. So we're talking about Tikkun HaMidot. This is the season we're in, Tikkun HaMidot. Creator of the world is saying, I'm taking you guys out of Egypt. It's not historically I'm taking you out of Egypt. The Jewish soul is born through the animal soul. You're, right? What soul do you meet first? Your animal soul when you're born. Mazel tov, it's an animal. Mazel tov. And when you're 13, what comes? It's your turn. Consciousness. Oh, that's where teenager is like, boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's like in the ring. The ring is in my head. It's in my body. He's punching him out. Up, down. Two souls right now wrestling inside you.
Hopefully.
Another day.
So that was b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et tzmo kilu yatzam etzayim. What does it mean that I must see myself as if I left Egypt? Laser, what does that mean? To start imagining myself like a sack and like a turban, like leaving with... No. I have to realize that my existence today, my existence is from Mitzrayim, is from my own restrictions. First, I met my restrictions. First, I met my taivas. First, I get to meet my... This is who I am, man. And then I get to learn that, oh, there's godliness. Oh, there's a plan. Oh, there's a Torah. Whoa, there's something bigger. So my existence is constantly being born. I am born from my own Mitzrayim.
So why do people do more bad when they're teenagers than when they're little kids? When you're a little kid, there's no fight. You should be all bad.
You answered it yourself because there's no fight. You're dominated by one being.
So you should be all bad.
You are. It's not bad. It's not bad in a sense of sin. It's bad in a sense of bad and good in that sense. Are you a prat or a klal? Do you see yourself as a private or a collective? The difference in a katan and a gadol is a katan is not mitzarif to minyan. He could only see himself. A gadol could already join. Do you chab that there's a bigger story? That's what it means bad. You're just self-centered. Okay. Kids are not bad. They're just very, very selfish. And then they grow up and say, wait, there's a code. There's a way to behave. So then you're right. At that point, it's like, wait, I don't want to behave that way. It's that goes. My selfishness is like I want to do what feels good to me, but then your logic is telling you, wait, but there's a system, there's an order. So then, inside of you, you'll experience that. That's the battle within, only by a yid. That's why a Jew that goes to a not Jewish psychologist, good luck, good luck. Good luck. No, I'm saying like what? Okay, I understand you. So like, but what's really bothering? So what's bothering you? You know, something amazing. The Baal Shem Tov once met a doctor, and the Baal Shem Tov obviously learned wisdom from everyone, from everything. And this doctor, his specialty was to feel the pulse in different types of healing, like acupuncture, acupressure. Feeling the pulse. The pulse has a very strong indicator of what's actually going on in the spirit. Because there's 10 pulses parallel to the 10 sefirot. The Zohar Kadosh speaks about this. And how your spirit, the rhythm of your spirit, which is in your pulse, could tell if something's off. If your rhythm is like, that's a song of life. You know, that song could go on forever. If your rhythm is rock and roll, that's great. But your rhythm is like, tick, 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 tick. I don't know, things are stuck. Ain't that, there's no flow in that rhythm. We're not getting to that right now. So the Baal Shem Tov, he challenged his doctor to listen to his rhythm, and he told him that your rhythm is not following the normal sequence. He said your disease is that you're in love with something that's way, way, way above you. Like you're actually like in love with something very distant from you, and you're lovesick. I have no idea what it could be, this doctor said. Like, it's not a woman. Like, it can't be like something. Like, you're in love with something. Your totality is so in love with something that's beyond you that your pulse is regulated to that frequency. The love of the nefesh of a yid is dancing to other tunes, to other rhythms. We could be sick because we're missing that perfection. We smell that perfection. So in these days that Hashem is revealing to us before Matan Torah, the main job that Am Yisrael is doing is Tikkun HaMidot. So this is what Baal Shem Tov learned from his uncle, who was a Tzaddik Nistar. That's where we go to the old Tzaddik Nistar and the Avodah Nistarim. That what's Ikar Chassidus? What's Ikar Chassidus? In one line.
Spirituality?
I guess only the Baal Shem Tov could say this. עיקר החסידות הוא תיקון המידות ולייקר יהודים פשוטים. The main, the עיקר of חסידות is to emphasis on מתקן your midas. And every mitzvah, how is this mitzvah connected to my personality, to my behavior? Not just to do a mitzvah, I did this. What does Hashem want from my heart? I did something with my hand, but this is supposed to do something inward. Where do these mitzvahs, תיקון המידות, the עיקר גילוי and פנימיוס התורה and the deep part of the Torah, is how is every external mitzvah, how is it affecting all the worlds? How is it affecting me? How is it affecting, how is it making the world nicer, better? תיקון המידות ולייקר אנשים יהודים פשוטים. To give cover to the most simplest yid. Because there's really no such thing as a simple yid. We're so used to looking at Yidden as, okay, he's a bigger tzaddik than him, tamu tacham than him, like richer than him, poorer than him, older than him. Every ratio, like something to compare Yidden. That may be true to some understanding. But really, really, by Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu and the gangstership of gangsters is the same. The same. Hashem was every year the same. And the Ikar Chassidus that we should do, that we should understand, is that Mashiach coming is not some magical figure that's like Bob Marley, like some people think great God will come from the sky, right? Take away everything. Make everybody feel high. It's like this all kinds of myths. Lyrics? Yeah.
So is it.
Stand up for your rights.
Get up, stand up for your rights. Stand up for your rights.
Geula is not that. Geula is not. Geula is the victory of Tzuras Adam. It's the victory of man. It's when Tikkun HaMidot. Tikkun HaMidot.
Tikkun HaMidot.
Tikkun HaMidot. L'chaim. Amen.
Why would somebody want to be to benefit us if life can be so much like simple? This is the way.
Yeah. No. As hard as it is to metaken your midas, it's way, way harder to not metaken them. Because the Yetzer Hara, he pays cash right away. What's going to happen later? I don't know. The Yetzer Hara gives you post-dated checks. Big numbers, but post-dated. You have to wait. You have to have patience for the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara pays you right away. It's going to feel good now. I don't know the consequences. But that's immature. It's immature. Maturity is saying
no. Retirement's coming. How's you saved up already, you know?
What?
Retirement's coming. You don't get 401k.
401k,
that's a joke. It's like, I trust you, Governor. No, but it's the godly.
Maturity?
It's a long game.
You're right, but as hard as it is to be mature, it's harder to be immature. Because maturity, it's a graph. Imagine you have two graphs. One graph, you're winning. Small, but you're winning slowly. But the graph is overall going up.
Gold.
One graph, you're starting big, but the graph is going down. So I don't care how big you're starting now. That's an immature. That's like, yo, I'll take now, but what's going to be later? I don't know. That's immature. Maturity is understanding that this is the Mahara. It's an investment worth making. Just like
a mahalach
means this is an investment, a movement in life that's worth taking. It's worth it. I see in this, just like a person decides to go to college or to study some kind of profession right now. It may take 3 or 4 years out of his life, but he sees it. It's worth it at that time. He'll take college loans. You see these lawyers that are waitering in restaurants. You know, in 2 years, this guy is going to be making more than you make your entire life. But now he's serving you fish because this is what he needs. That's a mature move, right? If you can't bring yourself to do that, you're saying, no, I'm just going to take small jobs. You're never going to build yourself up. Everything is mature. A diet is maturity. A diet, go on a diet, you need to be self-control. What is self-control? I want to eat that burekas, baby. You like burekas, I know. Who doesn't like burekas?
You gotta stay away from the
burekas. Stay away from the
burekas.
No. Burekas? That's the. L'chaim.
You can eat
1,000 burekas. Nothing will happen to you.
That's true.
You know that. Leave from the
road. Yeah. What's your name, Tony?
Daddy.
Daniel?
One name?
Daniel. Daniel's a strong name. You know that the Zohar comes from Daniel. Right, Daniel's Gematria Haman. And did Haman kill Daniel?
Better.
They challenge you to your name, huh? Some opinions. There's opinions that he killed him. But no, who could kill Daniel? No one could kill Daniel.
Survived the lion.
That's job. The lions is nothing next to what he survived compared to the human lions he was surviving with. Nebuchadnezzar is worse than a lion. Being around these people, you know, their mood goes one way, boom, you're in the fire. No delay over there. Chaim Daniel. How does Daniel connect to Reb Shem Bar Yochai?
He told me.
Where does Reb Shem Bar Yochai wrote a book? What's the book called? The Zohar. Why is the book called the Zohar?
What does Zohar mean?
Wow. Splendor, the light. What light? Where did he get? Imagine you write a book. Writing a book is a very big event, but writing the name for the book is very, very deep.
Are there opinions that he didn't even write it?
My opinions is that the people that say that were never even born. It's a no pshita. If I want to tell you something, to say that the Zohar is not real, you have to say that Reb Shem Rochai is a Rasha Gadol. There's no in the middle.
Save for the next one.
Either you, if this is real, you're holy. If it's not real, man, you're not holy. There's no middle way here. It's Narishkeit to think that way. And the Zohar is full of real stories, and any story, no one can make up stories. Reb Shem Ben Leon would never make up stories and write what. Moshe Rabbeinu came down to anyone that learns Zohar, it's not, you can't make up those stories. If you make up the stories, that will be the New Testament. Literally, the New Testament.
Good luck, yeah.
It was written at the same time. Same time. Time of destruction.
The
Zohar
was written at the same time of the Testament?
Don't join at the end, Tzadik. You'll listen to the recording.
Two-thirds.
What's your name, Tzadik?
Shlomo.
Shlomo. And you?
Moshe Levi.
Moshe.
Chaim.
Chaim.
How does Daniel have to do with Zohar? And what do you guys say? I told you guys, no. The name, when you have a sefer, you get the name. The first words in the Zohar, the Zohar starts with this pasuk. V'amaskilim yazhiru kezohar rakia. U'matzikeh rabim kekochavim l'olam v'ed. It's the pasuk in Daniel, Perikid Beis. V'amaskilim, Daniel Perikid Beis. Daniel was one of the tzaddikim that Hashem showed him the time of Mashiach. It's two tzaddikim that Hashem showed him Mashiach. That's why we drink Jack Daniels, by the way. Yule.
Yaakov
and Daniel. With only two Yidden that Hashem showed them. Hashem showed them. What?
You could like the kosher version of the Lego. It's like Yaakov and Daniels.
No, this is like Jack Daniels and Klipa. Really, we should be connected to Yaakov and Daniel. Yaakov and Daniel, really? Maybe Uncle Yaakov Daniel?
No, you gotta start calling it Yaakov Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
We
used to call Yaakov Daniel until we met Arak. Now we just call Arak. Jack Daniels is like, Gaval, it's Kentucky. I'm sure there's so many Texas.
So,
Jack, the Jack Daniels in the world.
The Gilly Rice over there.
The same way all the Baba Sali, he was infused with all the Arak. All the Jack is connected to Akiva Weinstein. You know Akiva Weinstein?
The hardest one.
Yeah, Akiva Weinstein. All the Jack. Jack Daniels, Akiva Weinstein has a gemach for Jack Daniels. Let's say a guy has a kid Friday night.
Where is he?
And you need a Sheva Brachas. Always go with Akiva.
I'm a high school kid. I was at my house. He had a bottle of Jack Daniels wrapped in. I personally drank a full bottle. That bottle was not empty.
Of which bottle?
Jack Daniels.
From what?
Chaim Reisky was my first Shabbos and Tzfat. I went to
Chaim Reisky has the Baba Sali's
on his Jack Daniels.
Any bottle he touches, he should go fill up my car, maybe, guys. Yeah.
Put some all
that.
Like,
I guess.
The car was sad. That's Russian standard.
These are for antifreeze.
Yeah, these are what's in the line.
So where were we? How did we get into all this? Oh, Daniel.
Daniel and Yaakov.
So Daniel, so the first pasuk in the Zohar is from Daniel Yudbeis. My friends, Daniel was a very, very interesting tzaddik. You will listen to this, you don't know this.
It's a lot of things I don't know.
Daniel was 15 years old when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And he was taken with Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah to the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. To be, because the Babylonian king did not just conquer the land,
he
conquered the culture. He wanted to bring the women. You don't even know why. Disgusting stories. They conquered the beauty. They used to when they would have relations with their wives, they used to put Jewish boys so their wives would look at them and give birth to their beauty. They stole the beauty from Yidden. Like that's, they used to tie them to their beds. They used to tie their boys to their beds for their women to look at those boys and fantasize on their beauty. And they would give birth to kids that look like that. They took from Israel when the Romans took Israel, the Babylonians took Israel. They took grapes. The Chardonnay, I've heard from different winemakers, comes from Shar Adonai. It's the grape that grew in the gates of the Yidden knew the wisdom of grapes.
Isn't that just grapes without the skin?
It's a great excuse to drink Chardonnay.
But either way, how do we get into this? Oh, so now the Zohar. Let's go back to the Zohar. We could get very sidetracked there. Let's try to stay focused. So the Zohar So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is living at this time. And he... Oh, so we got back to Daniel. So Daniel... Imagine him, he's in Bavel, and the king takes him into the palace. He's growing up in the palace. And in order... What?
And he ended up serving God.
Because after the whole kingship of Nebuchadnezzar... The kingship went over to Madai. It was switched from king to king. And eventually the kings took their wise people with them. And he was needed throughout the generations to make different miracles, as you can see later on with Daryavesh, Belshazzar.
Right.
So Daniel, he experienced the pain of Beis HaMikdash of Bayis Rishon. He was fasted for 21 years. 21 years. At the end, towards the end, it was when is this period? He knew Hashem swore that it's going to be 70 years of galus and it's not ending. And he knew Hashem.
Logically, is that even a question to ask? Like, how do you fast?
Yeah, they denied they fasted Shabbos to Shabbos. He said already at age 15, already
no, Shabbos to Shabbos, but not Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos to Shabbos, he doesn't fast. Shabbos to Shabbos, you're not bechalal. Shabbos is kula koyde. The Rivnitzer Rebbe used to fast Shabbos to Shabbos. Now, when you fast Shabbos to Shabbos, you would say, on Shabbos, who's giving you your food? The doctor. He's giving you some mechve, some syringe with this milk or that superfood. No. He said, give me another kugel. Give me nacha kugel. Nacha chalent. Nacha kugel. He wouldn't leave Shirayim. They wouldn't leave Shirayim, these tzaddikim. Vacuum it up, baby. Not a scrum. No Shirayim. Nothing. Like, what? How does that work? That itself is the most supernatural. It was that with Kula Kodesh. Go up in smoke. Boom. So Daniel, he suffered the first Beis HaMikdash. And he was there to bring back the Yidden, the Chayra, in the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, I want to draw a parallel, guys. Open up your minds. I want to draw a parallel between Daniel and Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is right after the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And Reb Shimon is the one that's vengeance against the Romans. As other rabbis have other opinions, they're being more lenient, they're more accepting. He's vengeance, we're killing them. They're horrible, we're done. So they're jihad against him. He runs to the cave 13 years. In those 13 years, because he had such mesirut nefesh for Am Yisrael, he reached levels that no one ever, ever, ever reached. No one ever reached. And he said, from those levels that he never reached, he was able to take the light. Torah has pshat, it has revesh, it has drash, it's kula kodesh, but it has soid. The soid is the light, it's the romance, it's the excitement. When a yid went to the base of Mikdash back in the day, they didn't just see, you just proved to me that God exists. They saw God, they felt God, they were in it, they knew it, they were in it. How do you take that experience? How do you take that experience, that light? He's holding at the second destruction, the second base of Mikdash. How do you continue that light? He looks into Daniel. Hashem tells Daniel, you know what's going to happen before Mashiach comes? There's going to be a darkness in the world. It's going to be crazy in the world. But there's going to be maskilim. There's going to be people that care to know about you. And these maskilim, the people that care to know about you. They don't know you, but they want to know you. That's why the maskilim in Europe call themselves maskilim, from this pasuk. You ever ask yourself, why the maskilim? The tnuas ha'askala, the enlightenment. It wasn't called enlightenment. Enlightenment is in English. It got this translation. They called themselves haskala. They were the maskilim. They figured out the truth. They said everything we did till now was nothing. We figured out the truth. There's a new way to live. They were the klipa there. But what they were saying is right. There's a new way to live. That's our Reb Shimon. What does he call his sefer? The Zoya. A maskili mazirut. He says, my sefer is not connected to people of my generation. My sefer is going to be for when Mashiach is being revealed in the future.
What conversation with the Torah?
That's what this book is for. Reb Shimon.
What book is this?
The Zohar. The entire Kabbalah and the entire understanding how the Torah is not just external instructions of how to think and how to speak and how to act. How the Torah is actually a dance, a harmonial dance of being. how my inner midot, how my inner workings, my inner personality go out from being selfish and self-centered to become godly and vast. It's a dance. There's a momentum. There's a unity. There's a method to the madness. All these details, the 613, is actually one. Show me all those. That dimension of the Torah. That's what we felt when we went to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why every Jew had to go to three times a year. Why do I have to go to Beis HaMikdash? Learn Torah. Be at home. No. Learning Torah will not get you there. Well, you'll get nowhere. You'll understand what you understand from your book according to your own bad midas. Three times a year, go see the master. Go see the Beis HaMikdash. You know what the Zohar Kadosh writes on this pasuk? Three times a year, go to see the master. The Zohar says, who's the master? The Zohar says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the master. Three times a year, go to see Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But once there's no Beis HaMikdash, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, last man the Pollock, Rabbi Shimon himself went to Beis HaMikdash. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, where can you see the face of Hashem? By Reb Shimon. In the Torah of Reb Shimon, in the Medrash of Reb Shimon, in his way of thinking, in his Mesirut Nefesh, he brought down a way of understanding the Torah that's not seeing the face of Hashem. So Reb Shimon Baruch Hai calls it Sefer Azor, the Zohar. Because what is my book? My book is coming from the words in Daniel that are describing the end of days. That's the name of my book is from the future light. I'm from the future light. The same way Daniel was crying about the first Beis HaMikdash and Hashem showed him the second Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is crying for the second Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is showing him the third Beis HaMikdash already.
Rabbeinu writes in Sefer Midah, right? Through the Sakim of Shlita, you can see the Beit HaMikdash.
So right.
This is where he should say that.
Because the Khalif, what Rav Nassim speaks about there in the Kutei Halachos, is the Khalif is Midosh Machlif, the switch. So that's why the knife is called the Khalif, because it switches the animal from a level of animal to a level of human, to Medaber. Through the Shechita, that level, it goes, it's Mitchalif.
It
and that's the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash is to reconnect the animalistic and the godly, and that the godly should dominate the animalistic. So really, it's really the light. That's where the Nachman writes that if through seeing the knife of a shaychet, you could see the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, because all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash are there to do that one function, to elevate, and that's what the knife does to this particular animal, elevates an animal to human. So we learn from Rav Nassim. I want you to know something. If the sun is shining in the world today, if any Jew has any thought of tshuva, which is anyone that has a thought of hope, it's connected to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Without Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, there'd be zero light in the world today. No light. I don't even know how the sun would shine, really. And if it shined, I don't even know who would be there to notice it. Because the slavery that mankind can find themselves is could hide everything from me. And the Torah of Rabbi Shimon is the Torah of freedom, the Torah of chirut, the Torah of light. It's clear that light brings freedom. Where in the morning we say Hashem is Mati Arsurim, Zoykum Kufufim. When you're at night, reality is locked in. The second the sun is shining, you can go here, you can go there. Light is freedom. So you wrote to my friends that the main avodah is to get to Lev Tov. Lev Tov. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says Lev Tov, fix your heart. Meaning all the midot are in the heart. Lev Tov, Lev is 32, Tov is 17, together is 49. That means the entire Avoida of Svirat HaOmer is to make a Lev Tov. But let's look, it's so interesting. Lev is 32, Tov is 17, but that's the first day of the 33rd. Meaning when it turns from Lev to Tov, it's Lag B'Omer. Till Lev, it's Lamed Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, till 32. What day does it turn good? What day does it turn tov? Lag Baomer. Lag Baomer is a shift from the lev to the tov. It's a very, very deep day that the Talmidim of Akiva word stopped to be nifter and the minhag avelos ha-pesik from Israel. And it's a day for us to we can notice that since there's so much liberty and so much freedom happening on this day, we could call upon this liberty and this freedom into our lives and to bring it into our struggles, whatever the ratio of, you know, slavehood to freedom you have within yourself. We see that Rosh Hashanah is a tremendous power of chirut, of freedom.
The
Ari, he says
you should
duck. You should continue these veilos till before that. Yeah. How does that? It's not a veilos, is it? It's just that. You're right, but there's no question that even according to the Ari, the Almas says for sure that on the 33rd day, everyone cut their hair.
Yeah.
For sure. The Ari's, one of the ways we know about the Hilulah from Shimon is a description of the Arizal when he came from Egypt the first year. So then he took his son to get a chalak of Arab Shimon. Like that there were no minhagim like it. Getting a chalak of Arab Shimon, that's a.
It's
for the Ari. There's minhagi Ari. Right. You know, Shulchan Aruch is a vast, vast compilation and work of many, many tzaddikim. But everybody, the second the Ari says something, they're right away halach is like the Ari. There's no question.
Why don't you see them waiting until after?
Because they understand Ari that way. Nusach Chabad is called Nusach Ari. Nusach Ashkenaz, they'll tell you that Nusach Ari. Nusach Sfardi is Nusach Ari. Sfardi is Nusach Ari. Everyone is Nusach Ari. This is the way they understand Ari, but less bound the public is that Ari is halacha. Halacha Kari.
I heard that the halacha of Ari what he did was he waited and encouraged to wait until she was, but for children do without the halachas.
Yesh Lion, you could look today in the Svarma of Yaakov Hillel that writes big Torahs about every minhag of the Ari. He writes unbelievable in Yanim.
Like overwrite Shulchan Aruch?
No, Shulchan Aruch itself, in Shulchan Aruch itself, is what even minhag Ari was like.
Wait, quotes all the
time. Yeah, everything was like, as long as it's like the Ari.
there's
no question in his time that he was such an overwhelming tzaddik. Upon experience, the halacha was what?
The Ramah
at the same time was not a stira to the Ari b'chal. The Ramah had. Right, 100%. And then there's in Yanim of Torah of Chutz Laaretz, Torah of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah was in Poland. The Rabbi Mechaber was here. Like more Bavli, Rishami type of situations also. No, sometimes it's weird. Like that's a halacha for you if you're in Eretz Yisrael. If you're there, then you're there. That's not us. Hello.